So I've picked a few verses scattered through the chapter today. So I'll have to see if I've marked them up in my Bible correctly, and you can follow along in your Bibles or up on the screen. So we're on to Acts chapter 20, and we'll start at the beginning of the chapter and jump through selected passages. So follow on screen where you see the words. When the uproar was over, Paul sent for the believers and encouraged them. Then he said goodbye and left for Macedonia. While there, he encouraged the believers in all the towns he passed through. Then he traveled down to Greece, where he stayed for 3 months. He was preparing to sail back to Syria when he discovered a plot by some Jews against his life. So he decided to return through Macedonia. He's all right. Several men were traveling with him. They were Sopater, son of Pyrrhus from Berea, Aristarchus and Secundus from Thessalonica, Gaius from Derbe, Timothy and Tychicus and Trophimus from the province of Asia. I could have picked not to read these verses, couldn't I? But there is a point to them. They went on ahead and went and waited for us at Troas. After the Passover ended, we boarded a ship in Philippi in Macedonia, and 5 days later joined them in Troas, where we stayed a week. Then on to verse 13. Paul went by land to Assos, where he had agreed for us to join him, while we travelled by ship. He joined us there, and we sailed together to Mytilene. The next day, we travelled past the island of Chios. The following day, we travelled to the island of Samos, and a day later, we arrived at Miletus. Paul had decided to sail on past Ephesus, for he didn't want to spend any more time in the province of Asia. He was hurrying to get to Jerusalem, if possible, in time for the festival of Pentecost. But when he landed at Miletus, he sent a message to the elders of the church at Ephesus, asking them to come and meet him. When they arrived, he declared, "You know that from the day I set foot in the province of Asia until now, I have done the Lord's work humbly and with many tears. I have endured the trials that came to me from the plots of the Jews. I never shrank back from telling you what you needed to hear, either publicly or in your homes. I have had one message for Jews and Greeks alike, the necessity for repenting from sin and turning to God and of having faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me, except that the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God." Then verse 24 to 31. 24 I'll keep going then. I thought I might have jumped a few verses, but where did I get to? Verse 25. And now I know that none of you to whom I have preached the kingdom will ever see me again. I declare today that I have been faithful. If anyone suffers eternal death, it's not my fault, for I didn't shrink from declaring all that God wants you to know. So guard yourself and God's people. Feed and shepherd God's flock, his church, purchased by his own blood, over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as elders. I know that false teachers, like vicious wolves, will come in among you after I leave, not sparing the flock. Even some men from your own group will rise up and distort the truth in order to draw a following. Watch out. Remember the 3 years I was with you, my constant watch and care over you, night and day, and my tears for you. And now I entrust you to God and the message of his grace that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance with all those who have set apart, he has set apart for himself. I have never coveted anyone's silver or gold or fine clothes. You know that these hands of mine have worked to supply my own needs and even the needs of those who were with me. And I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. When he had finished speaking, he knelt and prayed with them. They all cried as they embraced and kissed him goodbye. They were sad most of all because he had said that they would never see him again. Then they escorted him down to the ship. May God bless us as we consider some of the stories from this chapter. Are you hanging in there? Chapter 20. We're on to the 20s. There's 28 chapters in the whole of the book of Acts. And I wonder if you spotted in the reading, and we're going to touch on it in my reflections, of the author of Acts. Who wrote Acts? Who wrote Acts? It may just be my hearing that I've not heard some of you. Luke, yes, Luke. And we pick up with Luke in this particular chapter. And here's an opportunity as well. It's not quite the, I've got on the screen, I made the slide, but it's not quite the sermon title as such, but just for my own sake, I thought it might be good. I know the following slides might be absolutely minuscule, even on a big screen, but I'll help you a little bit with it. And let's see if this clicker works, because by this stage, in Acts chapter 20, by this stage, Paul's been on his first journey. Paul's been on his second journey, and he is on his third. And not only has he gone around visiting place to place, sometimes going back to places where he's been persecuted, back to a place where he was stoned once, back to places where people just needed to hear his encouragement. And while he's starting to go back to places, he's also started writing letters. So some of us know these letters. I think I was probably trying to tease out last time that I was with you about some of the places that he had been to that are on a list. And some of those places have names that are reminiscent of some of the books in the New Testament. So let's see if... Yes. Will it? I might just need to give a nod. There's only half a dozen slides or so. There we go. Working with a bit of technology. Hopefully Dominic can get us going again. But let's see, who is it? Is it happy? Oh, yes, so we're going on to the next slide. Can anyone read anything on that slide? I've packed everything. Oh, you can, good. I've packed a lot of information there. That's just, we're not going to go through everything. Don't worry about that. But on the left-hand side, you can see some estimated dates as to when different events happened. So we start right up the top. Well, around about 30, it's not on that slide, but around about AD 30 is when Pentecost and so on happened. So just within 5 years, it's estimated that Matthew has written his gospel. He was the first out of the blocks getting his gospel written. And we get some of these other books listed there, but the point of interest really, because of Acts that I want to look at, is what's this date here? 50, and it's estimated that what was written in around about 50 AD. Paul is the author of this letter to the Thessalonians, yeah, the people that live in, can you remember I was dancing between, is it Thessalonica or Thessalonica? Thessalonica, Thessalonica, sounds like a song maybe. But he's written a letter. We call it a book, but he's written this letter. Where is my pointer again? And then a year or so later, maybe he's written his second letter to the people in Thessalonica. And then we pick up the next one, around about 51 to 53. It's hard to determine exactly when these dates happened, but we get this letter to the people in Galatia, and then 55 to 56, 1 Corinthians, and 57, 2 Corinthians. We are just around about that time. I'm not going to go through all of those dates and so on and the writings, but we're around about that time, mid-late 50s, when we look at chapter 20. It says that there was an uproar, and off goes Paul. If we look back a little bit, this uproar happened in which town? Has anyone else got a Bible that they can flick back to? Where was he? Ephesus. Okay, quite an important book, or letter that he wrote to the Ephesians later. But here he's got this uproar. Can you remember the story? The silversmiths didn't like the fact that their trade was disappearing, that they were making all these images and so on, and they tried to cause him trouble, but it wasn't trouble enough. This is where we get one of the indications of being able to date that particular chapter, or what that chapter talks about. And then after he's there for a little while, it says that he encouraged them, and then he said goodbye and left for Macedonia. So I think I've got another slide or two that... it might be the distance, it might be the batteries, I know the feeling. But here we go. There's another way of putting your previous one. There you're going to struggle looking at the little writing there. But in that whole graphic, on the left-hand side, we've got the dates, roughly, the Gospels, when each of the Gospels and Acts were written, Paul's epistles, his letters. That's the bit that we're interested in. I think that there's a... There we go. So we're looking at mid-late 50s, and third journey, and by this time we've got 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and Romans, that Paul has written these letters. Just a little question, a little quiz. Has Paul been to Rome yet? Oh, 20 chapters. Has Paul been to Rome yet? No. Not that we're told of. Not that we know of, not that we're told. But has he met anyone from Rome? Has he met any believers from Rome? I'll qualify myself a little bit there. He's met plenty of Roman people. But who did he meet in this last chapter or so? Aquila and Priscilla. Okay. What was their story? Well, they had been believers, Jewish believers in Rome, and because the emperor at the time had thrown out all the Jews, we don't quite know, have any explanation as to why they were thrown out, but they were thrown out, and it seems as though they were these Christian Jews, these Messianic Jews, they were part of this extradition. And they ended up there in Greece, in Corinth, and that's where Paul had met with them. So, and what else do we know about Aquila and Priscilla? They were tent makers, and Paul was a tent maker, and they hung out together and worked together and so on. And we get at the end of this chapter this reference from Paul of, look, I worked my way through my journeys. I wasn't reliant on everyone else. So with that experience, I don't think that it's difficult for us to understand and realize that these close friends that Paul had made, that talked about other believers that were there in Rome, the Roman emperor changed every so often, so time has progressed, people have moved back. Paul has in his mind that he wants to go to Rome. We'll pick up on that in a few minutes as we get to the end of the chapter. But coming back to the beginning, Paul has been writing these letters. He's been going from place to place. He's been revisiting place to place. He's encouraging people, even though things were difficult. Even though in some of these places they were thrown out of the synagogue and thrown out of the town, he still went back to encourage them. He wrote letters. And we get, when we read some of these letters, we realize that he's getting a bit old in age and his eyesight is failing him a little. And sometimes he writes these letters at the end. He gets a scribe to write the letters and then he says, in my own handwriting, these are big letters, as though they needed him to tell them. These are big letters. This is my handwriting. Why does he write these letters? Well, as we read through them, we won't do all of that today. We haven't got the time, nowhere near. But some of these letters are to correct bad theology, misunderstandings, people trying to mix in with the true teachings, to try and mix in some of this distorted teaching. And this is the warning that Paul gives to these elders as well. Did you pick that up? The elders from Ephesus that came to visit him further down the coast. Along Paul's journey so far, and we are getting nearer to the end, I wonder, will that work? Oh, there we go. Oh, no, that's all right, because I'm going to skip that, because that is super tiny. But again, if anyone wants any of these details, that one there, oh, look, zooming in, clever. That one there gives us a timeline on the left, the story in the middle, and then on the right, the correlating chapter in Acts. It's quite handy and useful. But if we mix this one with the previous slide, then we can start seeing what was written when. Even before the story in Acts has finished, Paul is writing out these letters of encouragement, letters of rebuke. The next one. I'll try and get these through these slides. The problem with slides, this is why I don't normally use slides and graphics, is people get transfixed with what's up on the screen, and then I get carried away with the descriptions. But here we just get a bit of an idea of the east end of the Mediterranean. And if I can point out to you, you might be able to spot already, here is Ephesus. This is where he starts off in this chapter. Then he ends up going up and over to Macedonia. Then he goes down into Greece. And then he comes back where he was going to take a boat. He finds out about a plot against him. So he sends other people. And then he goes back up over on land and goes from Philippi over to Troas. And then he does a little bit of travelling on land and island hopping all the way down that west coast of Turkey. So, what's the point of the story of this whole chapter? I think it's interesting that we get a list of people at the beginning of the chapter. I'm not going to try and get my tongue around all of their names again, but what I find interesting is where they were from. Sopater is from Berea. How well was Paul received in Berea? Can anyone remember? That was a good place. They really soaked up this message from Paul there. They really wanted him to stay, and they really searched the scriptures for what Paul was talking about. And then we've got a couple of other people from Thessalonica. Gaius from Derbe. How well did that one go? Well, we'd need to look back in chapter 14 for that. But some places he went, he was well received. Other places, he wasn't. But it seems as though there were people in everywhere that he went. Some people that were ready to say, I accept what you said. I can see it from the scriptures. And some people are even ready to say, I want to go and do what you're doing. I want to go and tell the world this good news about Jesus. Verse 6. Remember what I said? Who wrote Acts? Luke. Luke wrote Acts after he had written his own gospel and written for the same person. But here we get a clue as to where Luke gets his stories. At least this last part of Acts, the stories seem to be firsthand. So verse 6, what does it say? After the Passover ended, what does your Bible say? That's about what I heard. We. Did anyone got we written in that translation, in your translation? Okay. Why would the author write we? The author hasn't put it in the first person as yet. So what can we conclude? He was there. We did this. And we did that. In fact, the next couple of verses, we get these references of we and us and so on. I think it's fascinating that wherever Paul went, he went and told this good news of Jesus. He was looking for people to say, I get what you're saying. We understood things like this, and you've helped us to understand things like this. And we accept it. and some people saying, you know what, I would like to go and give my life to Jesus like this, in going from place to place and telling people the good news of Jesus. And Paul, in revisiting and encouraging and in writing, he continually poured out his life. This was his purpose. This was his calling. What was it that Paul said to his elders, the elders that had come to him from Ephesus? He said about him, his life is meaningless unless he was doing this. What gives you meaning in your life? You may not feel as though I need to give up everything and do like Paul did and tour around Turkey and Egypt, not Egypt, Turkey and Greece. But God calls us all, calling us all in the first place to respond to this message. And God calls us as well to share this message. I skipped over a story. Maybe we'll come back to it some other time. But it shows at least the urgency of Paul wanting to do everything that he could possibly do as he grew older, as he realized he's getting nearer the end of his life. Because this story that we jumped over is this guy who was sitting up in the upper room, two or three stories up. He's sat in the window, and Eutychus, anyone heard that story before? And what happens to him? I'm not going to point any fingers or name any names at the moment, looking around the room, but he fell asleep. It was late. It was early hours, actually, of the morning. Why was it early hours of the morning? Why were they still there? It was because Paul was only going to be with them for a short period of time. So he wanted to make the most of that opportunity. They wanted to make the most of his being able to listen to him. And Eutychus falls asleep. He falls out the window, as the story goes, and he dies when he reaches the ground. And they all go downstairs, oh dear, and we get the story of this miracle of renewed life. And then what did they do? Anyone know the story well enough? We didn't read it. It's early hours of the morning. He's fallen asleep, you know, surely after something like that. And now he's alive after he's died because of he's hit the floor. Surely it's time to say, okay, maybe we should call it a day, guys. It's time to go home. Do you know what they did? They carried on till the morning. Studying and talking and encouraging each other, making the most of that opportunity that Paul was with them. Paul, it says, as we read through, he sails past Ephesus. This was in verse 16. He wanted to get to Jerusalem. Why did he want to get to Jerusalem? Well, it says that when we had read that he's missed Passover, but maybe he can get there for Pentecost. What kind of time window are we talking about? How long is it between Passover and Pentecost? 50 days. 50 days. So he's got something in his mind. His intention is to get there as soon as he can. And I just point out some of the delays that he had were just that wherever he goes, people want to talk with him. People want to have that communication, that teaching. Other delays might have happened. I don't know that it was quite a snowstorm, but did you read how long it took him to get from Philippi to Macedonia, in Macedonia to Troas? 5 days. 5 days. It's not a very long crossing, but 5 days he was crossing. How do we know that that's a long time? Well, if we looked back in chapter 16 and verse 11, it says that he did the same journey in the opposite direction in 2 days. Do you get the picture? This was difficult. It gets stormy in these parts. But he was determined. No storm, no nothing is going to slow me down from sharing the good news of Jesus. I know I'm leapfrogging over different parts of this chapter. But he called the elders in verse 17. The elders from Ephesus. He's only just a bit down the coast. From my estimation, it's probably 30 miles or so. But he's quite deliberately not got the boat that goes off and stops off at Ephesus. He's down the coast, but while he's there, he's kind of, let's have a little final chat. So the message goes up, comes back, the elders come with him. And he says to these elders, I've never shrunk back from telling people of the good news of Jesus. I think I referenced Ezekiel chapter 16 on this in a previous sermon. It's not my fault. It's on my head if people don't hear from me and choose to carry on in their own bad way. But it's not my fault if I've told them and then they choose to carry on. Paul says, this is the message in a nutshell. Repent. Turn to God. Have faith in Jesus. Do you think that's easy enough for each of us to remember? If you're stuck for words, what are those 3 points? What can we share with people? What can you tell people about your own faith experience? I needed to repent. I needed to turn away from pursuing my own ambitions. I needed to turn towards God. And I put my faith in Jesus that he will work everything out. Do you need to renew those 3 points yourself? To repent, to turn to God, to have faith in Jesus. Verse 22, Paul says to these elders, now I'm on my way to Jerusalem. Now, why do you think that he was on his way to Jerusalem? Anyone? Yeah, well, if we look, and I'm not going to take you there just because of time, but either believe me, that goes against what I normally say, don't believe it because the preacher says it, but take a note, put a little, fold the corner of your Bibles over in Romans chapter 15. And here we get Paul's reference. Remember the dates of when things happened? Maybe we can go on 2 slides. And another one. Oh, that's going backwards. Keep going, keep going, keep going. And again, and again, and again. That'll do. That'll give you something to look at as I start to summarize. Romans chapter 15. Remember in one of those previous slides, we referenced that Paul had been writing, busy writing, words of encouragement. He hasn't actually ever been to Rome yet, but he's already written the book of Romans, encouraging the people, the believers in Rome. And as part of that story and that writing, he says these words that we find in Romans 15, that he is eager to visit them in Rome. Why? He's not even been there. But he's eager. Why? Because he's heard from other people. Why? Because he's heard from Aquila and Priscilla. And it's a funny, interesting thing, because he seems to have Rome as a stop off on the way to somewhere else. In Romans 15, don't know that he was thinking of going to Spain for a party or just a holiday or whatever, but it says in Romans 15, I want to get to Spain. And when I go to Spain, I'm going to come by Rome and I'm going to visit you. Why? Because he wants to encourage people in their faith, to repent, to turn to God, to have faith in Jesus. His summary, his instruction, with his words that he said to the elders that came down from Ephesus, we find in verse 26. He says, guard yourselves, feed the flock, watch out for false teachings, because they will spring up, even amongst people that you know, that you've known for years. Be constantly on your watch, just like I am, he says. Paul visited places to find like-minded people that he could relate to, and he found others besides. He stayed as long as he could. Often he revisited those places. He wrote letters to instruct believers, and he warned about false teachings. Paul lived to serve others. I want to finish with some words that he's already written by this stage. We find these words right at the end of 2 Corinthians. So 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And just like Paul was encouraging those elders, I want to use these words to encourage you today and on into your new week. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11. I think we'll get that up on the screen. It's on the screen. That TV screen's disappeared. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 11. Dear brothers and sisters, I close my letter with these last words. Be joyful. Grow to maturity. Encourage each other. Live in harmony and peace. Then the God of love and peace will be with you. May we all have our intention to do as Paul encourages.